What's up, my dream comrades? And today we have a very special edition proudly sponsored to you by the Japan Sake and Shochu Makers Association on the topic of shochu. And this episode, we are joined by Miss Olivia Shea from Kurara, a specialty shop that deals with sake, shochu, and traditional crafts that is located in the heart of Singapore. Hello, Olivia.
Hi,
welcome
Sean.
To the show.
Thank you.
It is wonderful seeing you again. But, you know, just for the benefit of our viewers and as well as our listeners, why don't you introduce yourself to all of us?
Well, hi, I'm Olivia. I'm a sake sommelier and social advisor at Kurara. I guess pretty much got into sake close to almost coming to 20 years now, probably giving away my age. But
still look very young. It's okay.
Thank you. And got into shochu about 5-6 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. 5-6 years ago. Okay. And shochu has always been, I guess for the last 5-6 years, has been a huge part of your job and profession.
For the last 2 years, 2.5 years, yes, it's become a large part of my job. Prior to that, it was really a whole discovery journey. Even until now, 6 years later, 5-6 years later, I'm still discovering a lot about shochu.
Okay, but yeah. I'm sure you'll be able to at least, you know, give us a bit of, you know, some insight to what shochu really is, as well as some 101 information.
Yep.
So, you know, maybe for starters, you just give a brief outline on what shochu is, you know, what kind of ingredients do they use?
So, well, very much shochu is a distilled spirit or distilled alcohol from Japan. Differentiates itself from all other spirits around the world because of the use of koji. And there are two categories of shochu, if we put it that way. The what we would call otsuri shochu, which is also the honkaku shochu. Go into that a little later. And also the kori shochu, which are the ones that continuously distill without a very strong character in them.
Right. Talking about characters and and ingredients, is it safe to assume that most of the time flavors and aroma profile will be very different if you're using a very different type of raw material?
Yes, definitely for honkaku shochu, because there are 55 legally allowed base ingredients that can be used.
Wow, 55.
55, I know.
That's a lot.
We have the common ones, probably the most common and most popular one. It's like sweet potato. So the imo shochu. And then we have the rice shochu, kome shochu, barley, mugi, and then also brown sugar, kokuto shochu. These are probably the ones that are a bit more popular.
Most commonly
and
found.
But of the five, there can be things like one of the, I would say, the most interesting one that I've tasted personally and was also something that got me started on the shochu journey was a daikon shochu.
Daikon. Yeah, radish. So that was what I wanted to know, or at least you know, got me interested to know a little bit more about you, is that how did you actually get into shochu? You know, because it is still, I won't say mainstream product. So what got you to explore more into shochu?
Well, I mean, when I first encountered, in the past, very frankly, I didn't understand shochu very well. But there was a period of time, about 5-6 years ago, that I got to spend a bit more time in Japan. At that time, I was actually really looking at sake still. But I had a chance to visit a friend's family bottle shop in Yokosuka. And that's when I tasted the daikon shochu and I went, huh? that's a shochu from daikon that tasted like daikon,
right?
You know, like that grated daikon that you get with tempura
or oden.
I'm like, huh, okay,
that tastes great actually.
It does, very interesting. And so from there, and then since it's a bottle shop, I got to taste a lot more, not just your standard sweet potato and things like that, but then I think I had things like of course sesame. Black sesame is one that I really like also. And then we had some of the ones that were made with like herbs and like mugwort and things like that. So it got me wondering, like, shochu, it's really quite interesting. It's not just, it's not, you know, like, there's a lot of character to shochu. And I also at that point learned that actually shochu, it's a very casual kind of drink versus how, you know, a lot of us would look at sake or enjoy sake. We're talking about pairings and things like that nowadays. Yeah. But soju is actually very, very casual. And in fact, in Japan, soju is the most, is pretty much the most popular drink. In Japan, among the salarymen especially.
I mean, I asked about statistics with people in Japan, and or at least from JSS, and it's about 50-50% approximately, or at least according to them. And talking about statistics, what do you think the current guesstimate consumption for shochu is in Asia? If you have the numbers for Singapore, that'd be great, but you know, I'm not holding my breath.
Well, I have to thank NTA. Numbers were just released today.
Okay.
This morning.
Right.
But we're like a distant number five in terms of export.
Export for shochu?
For alcohol, period. And in terms of alcohol, soju, out of all the alcohol, it's not even 10%.
Yeah.
So no, it's a very small number. The largest, I guess, we can guess. It's actually whiskey, followed very closely by sake.
Right. So whiskey is actually taking the hot spot right now.
Yep.
Okay. So I guess sake and shochu really need to, you know, buck up.
Sake is a close number two to whiskey. And then, you know, it's the gins and vodka. The gins, the Japanese gins are very popular as well. So it's the gins and then followed by beers before it comes to soju.
Yeah, well, talk about competition. Well, talking about competition, you know, I mean, there are lots of other drink categories that are, that are in competition with shochu.
Yeah.
Even sake is considered a competition in a way. But, you know, with misconception just adds on, just compounds that effect on shochu. Shochu and soju is constantly being misunderstood or they just got mistaken. Why do you think that there is a popularity with Korean soju compared to Japanese shochu?
Well, first of all, the name itself adds to the confusion because it's soju for the Korean one.
Yeah.
And then, of course, soju for Japan, the Japanese one. But they are actually very different, especially the soju that we know of. The soju that we know of, it's actually what is considered a diluted soju. So it starts with a neutral base. So almost like how gin starts, you know, neutral base, re-rectified. And then what makes it really different is it's really diluted. There are additional... and then they add flavorings and things like that. So that includes all your sugar, your different kinds of flavors. That's why we see them in those little green bottles. You know, you've got the, I guess, what, strawberry ones and peach ones and things like that. That's very different. Soju, it's, well, it is diluted by water from when it's first distilled, usually down to about 25%. And then, but there's no addition of sugar or flavors. The flavor character that we get is from the base ingredient and how, you know, when they do the distillation. Yeah, but there's no addition of flavors. You're not allowed to do that.
Right. So by profile and characteristics, that is one appeal, I guess, that's coming from shochu. Do you think there's any other form of appeal as compared to any other spirits?
Well, the first, because it's coming from the base ingredients, you get a lot of different characteristics between depending on what you take.
Right.
I think the other thing that, at least what I really love about soju is, you know, it's how casual you can drink it, but you can drink it in different ways. Traditionally, soju is diluted, as in when we drink it, we dilute it. But depending on soju, we are talking about different dilution. Like, you know, if you're feeling you need a stiff drink, don't dilute it so much.
Yeah.
You know, and then maybe that's your last drink, the last one, you know, for the night. You might want to dilute it a little more. It really depends on how you feel. At the same time, you know, we can do it, dilute it different ways.
Yeah.
Your warm day, you want something, you can have it on the rocks with cold water. It's a cool day like last night, you know, you could have it warmed, you know, with hot water. Or nowadays, even just a simple dilution, there's also what we call soda water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or some with ochawari with oolong cha.
Yeah, oolong cha.
Yeah, so that's right. It's very casual. Yeah, and it actually works well, particularly the ones which worked well also with cocktails. Yeah, just a very simple cocktail.
So talking about diversity and you know, you just gave quite a bit of insight in terms of how you can drink it, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a very casual drink. Mm. Do you think because of that diversity or ways to drink it, would the popularity ever match any other drink or, you know, even with sake, for example?
Well, its other counterpart? I mean, I certainly hope so. Although I think it's a bit of a challenge. We need to do a lot more. But, you know, with how versatile it is with, you know, I think if we share a lot more about soju, let people know more about soju, you know, so that it's not so scary in that sense. Because also some people think that, oh, soju, it's very high alcohol.
Yeah, which is incorrect, actually.
It is, because we dilute it.
Yeah.
You know, and then exactly. It goes back down to actually lower than sake.
Sometimes.
Yeah,
not always,
okay,
sometimes.
When it's not made by me. Yeah, so I mean, I do hope it gains, you know, its popularity. Definitely going with the recent, like, workshops or masterclasses that we've done recently, we've seen a lot of interest. Mm. Definitely a lot of people who came to us who've never tried soju,
yeah,
but walked away actually liking them.
Yeah.
So that's great.
And I think I agree. I just came back from Japan, mm. obviously, mm. and you know, we were on a alumni study tour. Mm-hmm. So there was a lady in our group, and she doesn't drink soju per se. She drinks only sake because mm-hmm. she feels that it's a distilled spirit. It's very high in alcohol.
Right.
After she attended a very short seminar in JSS, mm. she was mind blown because there was one particular soju that she had. I think it was Dayame.
Ah.
You know, it's a bit like having your very first Sauvignon Blanc moment. Yeah, mm. that's what she felt. Because she was like, oh my God, this is lychee and roses and tropical fruits. She was quite blown away. And thereafter, she was like inquiring, hey, you know, is there going to be a soju class sometime soon? Because she's actually interested to find out a bit more.
Well, I think also we're seeing more and more of these, well, for the lack of a better word, modern style soju that's being produced by mm-hmm. by the distilleries, some of them even very established distilleries, because they want to try and open up the market. So some of them are a bit more aromatic, you know, lighter as well.
Yeah.
So yes, in a way, targeted at the female market.
All the younger generation.
All the younger generation, yeah. Yes. So, yeah, definitely a lot more that's coming out. So that would probably help. I mean,
I'd say, well, if my humble opinion matters at all, I think it's a bit like that epiphany I mentioned about Sauvignon Blanc when, you know, being back in the 80s and 90s, whereby New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc came to power.
Oh, yeah.
Back then, nobody knew Sancerre was a Sauvignon Blanc, and you know, this was a bit of a revelation. So I think this is something that will be good for the market for sure.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And then, you know, once the door is open, then
the floodgates are open.
Okay, not door floodgates. You know, then people will go discover more.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about some noob questions that you might get from consumers. And you know, we've Googled this.
Yeah.
Should I even be seeing the word Google? But you know, we've researched this, and then there are lots of questions from newbies, mm-hmm. whereby they're often asked and curious about soju.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, would you get a hangover if you drink soju?
Well, in moderation. If you're drinking in moderation compared to other alcohols or spirits, it's probably gonna you have a lower chance of getting a hangover.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna be consuming like 3 isho, I don't think you're going to get a hangover no matter what, you know.
Yeah.
But reason, because for soju, there's no additives. So it's a distilled spirits.
Yep.
Once it's distilled, then, you know, you don't add additives like sugar or flavorings and add to that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the chances of getting a hangover, it's lower because it's the other additives that actually usually gives you the hangover.
That's true.
Yeah.
I also think that hydration matters a lot.
Yeah.
So I think with the way we drink soju, you know, with all the dilution and all that, I think that should actually minimize
That too. I mean, like for myself, I usually start with a stronger one. And then as the night goes,
you seem like that kind of person.
I'll dilute it a bit more and more.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Well, first myth busted.
Yay.
What about umeshu? You know, because we drink a lot of umeshu as well.
Mm.
Is umeshu a shochu?
Umeshu is not a shochu. Umeshu is actually made with an alcohol base and the plants steeped in it,
mm-hmm.
usually with sugar.
Yep.
And then over at least 6 months to a year, where the flavors have been extracted, that becomes umeshu.
Right.
So the base of umeshu, a lot of the umeshu out there starts with a neutral spirit.
Or it could be sake, right?
Or it could be sake. Very, very rarer than the rest, because sake, as I'm sure you know, Sean, it's so much lower in alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So it's harder to make umeshu using them, but definitely there is. There are also soju-based umeshu, but they're definitely not soju.
Soju-based umeshu. Yeah.
So they are still liquors. Yeah.
Okay,
umeshu
cool.
will be a liquor. Yeah.
Right. Back to another question that we were talking about earlier mm-hmm. in this podcast. Mm-hmm. Honkaku shochu.
Mm.
And you said that you were going to share more about honkaku shochu and the differences between just an average shochu.
Right. So as mentioned earlier, soju can be divided into two categories.
Mm-hmm.
One which we call the hotsuri soju, which is also the same as honkaku soju, or it's also called, kind of like called type B soju. And then the other one, which is type A, and that's the kori soju. And so in terms of distillation, the biggest difference is that honkaku soju is single distillation,
mm-hmm.
hotsuri, pretty much. Whereas kori shochu is continuous.
Right. So yeah. it's more like a vodka.
Almost coming to a neutral spirit like
right.
vodka.
Right.
So honkaku shochu, how is it considered a honkaku shochu? So first of all, as I mentioned, single distillation pot still, made with any of the 55 legally approved
raw
ingredients
uh-huh.
or raw materials, and it has to be bottled below 45% ABV.
Right. Yeah. So there are a couple of like legalities that you have to follow.
Mad, yes. And honkaku, the name itself actually translates to authentic. Yeah.
Right. All Japan made. Okay, good. So that answers another question. Well, we have two more to go.
Okay.
Some people think that drinking shochu will get you fat.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And some would, you know, some might hear say that, oh, it might have sugar, might not have sugar. So which is it?
Shochu does not have sugar because you're not allowed to put any additives to it. The only thing that a distillery would add is water
mm-hmm.
to dilute it from when it was first distilled.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing you add. So shochu itself has no sugar. But when we do dilution, it can be diluted with water, ice, or, you know, as mentioned earlier, oolong tea, you know,
soda water, yeah,
and then there's also a very popular one, Kalpis.
Oh yeah, Kalpis.
So I mean, imagine if you choose to dilute every single glass with Kalpis,
that will get you fat.
Oh so. Yeah, and of course, you know, when you drink, you kind of snack. So it depends on what you eat too, right?
Right.
Yeah, so don't blame the shochu.
Yeah, so it actually doesn't matter whether it's shochu or any other spirits, because much like London Dry Gin or even Scotch Whiskey.
No sugar
yep. inside it. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Last question, you know, before we wrap up. Can I age shochu on my own?
I would say that is yes and no.
Okay.
Definitely, you know, if you have, it's a distilled spirit, it does kind of last a bit longer than sake in that sense. However, it does change. It does mellow out. Keep it for too long just with any other spirits, you would see that it has changed. If it's open, then it's been exposed to air.
Yeah.
The changes will happen even more. Flavors might change.
Yeah, I think the flavors actually tend to get weaker over
time.
It
does get weaker. Yeah. Sometimes it adds a certain sourish tone for some reason. Mm-hmm. However, so no in that sense. But again, why did I say yes? Because
if you know what you're doing.
If you know what you're doing. Oh, gosh. Sean knows me very well. I mean, yeah, if you don't know, like, for example, there are some soju that are sold in, like, the earthen pots or the mino pots, what they call the mino pots, yeah, which, you know, pottery where it actually has, like, more space or you know, yeah, that allows air to go through. Mm-hmm. And that actually, when you age it in them, it actually kind of smoothens out your soju, yeah, a bit more, like, mellows it out. So, yes, like, what I do is that I have one of those pots from a previous bottle that I bought, or previous pot of soju that I got before. Finished that, kept the bottle. And then if I have a soju that might be a little too sharp young, I actually pour it in there, let it age for a short while.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, ooh, then it gets, like, it smoothens it out.
Yeah.
And, of course, it also allows me to do the other thing, which is what we call my wari, which is to pre-dilute my soju. So okay, after it's kind of mellowed out, I think it's ready, I actually add water to it, and so lets it kind of blend even better.
Yeah,
before I
drink
it.
So it takes time to for it to, like, yeah, assimilate,
yep,
or marry,
yeah,
one,
yeah,
another.
So actually, my wari is something that shows, especially if you're doing it for a friend, you know, it really, right, shows how much you care because of the extra effort.
Fair
made.
Enough.
Yeah.
Well, long story short, can you eat shochu on your own unless you're Olivia?
No, no.
Right? Unless you're you. Well, but I guess that's also a good time to wrap up our episode. And, mm-hmm, you know, thank you for coming for this edition's shochu episode. But to wrap up, or to end off this session, what's your current favorite way of drinking shochu, or your favorite shochu for the matter?
Well, I actually currently on my table is a kokuto shochu.
Kokuto?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a Ichinojo kokuto shochu, which very, very strong brown sugar, mm-hmm, flavor. So
caramel.
Yeah, very caramelly and all. So what I like about it, it's really one that allows me to, if it's a hot day, have it on the rocks. If it's cool, like last night, have it with hot water. Yeah.
Nice. And flavors would be different, I guess.
Yes. When it's hot water, it's a bit richer. Oh, it brings out that, you know, like almost that warmth of brown sugar, almost close to like a Gula Melaka.
Yeah. Okay, Gula Melaka, for some of our viewers or listeners, it's a Malay dessert.
Coconut. Gula Melaka is the coconut sugar.
The coconut sugar, yeah.
Very thick and rich.
Okay, I've got to try it one day, for sure. So that takes us to the end of our episode. Again, once again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And if you all would like to listen to more of such content, please remember to follow and like and subscribe. And we will see you at the next episode. Thank you very much. Thanks, Olivia.
Thanks, John.